It's time to awaken to your ultimate potential.
It's exciting to be joining you on our third season of the Live Greatly podcast. In case you're new to the show, I'm Crystal Bauer, a wellness expert on a mission to help you thrive personally and professionally. If you're ready to thrive, I invite you to subscribe and follow season three, because each week I'm sharing conversations with incredible individuals about life, wellness, and success. Welcome to the Live Greatly podcast.
A lot of it kind of goes back to what we talked about. It's really having that North Star and having that mission and realizing that it's going to be up and down, but it's not a linear path. Things will constantly come at you.
If you're interested in getting a behind the scenes look at an entrepreneurial journey, you're going to love today's episode with Blake Sorensen. Blake is the CEO and founder of Blake's Seed Based. We're going to be chatting about why he started this brand, his mindset going into this as an entrepreneur, how he's overcome some challenges along the way. We're also going to touch on some self-care practices and any tips he has for entrepreneurs out there. I am so excited about this episode. Let's go ahead and welcome Blake to the show. Blake, I'm so excited to have you here. Thank you so much for joining me.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Crystal.
My pleasure. And a big day for you tomorrow. You're saying you're moving to Denver. So I appreciate you taking some time with me in the midst of all the potential chaos that comes with moving.
Of course. Yeah. This is a nice distraction for a few minutes to stop packing and talk to someone.
Yeah, for sure. So to start, Blake, I would love it if you could share the backstory to why you started this business and, you know, why is it important and what led you down this path?
Sure. Yeah. So the backstory of why I started Blake Seed Based is I have a nut allergy. So, you know, growing up, I was always frustrated with, you know, finding different snacks and things to eat. A lot of them had nuts, or you had to constantly read the labels. So, you know, kind of accepted that for a while and figured out how to navigate it. And then back in 2016, actually, I was in an entrepreneurship course at Indiana. And the concept was to, you know, 13-week kind of create a business. And, you know, right away it was kind of a light bulb moment of, you know, always struggled to find snacks. So, you know, why don't I go in my kitchen and create my own? And that's where it all kind of began, was through that class.
That's so cool. And I've heard that for a lot of ideas for entrepreneurs, it comes from problems you're having in your own life. So is that kind of what you've seen too in this space, that people are kind of living day to day and thinking about like, what could they improve upon?
Yeah. I mean, for me, it was like, okay, let's first solve my own problem. And, you know, I was kind of the first customer, and, you know, what I was surprised by is how many other people had the same problem of, you know, looking for products that snacks that were free of, you know, the top 8 food allergens. So started off, you know, I didn't realize how big the market was until I kind of went down the path, and then it was like, whoa, like this could potentially be a business.
So you have a business background, right? Did you go to school for this?
Yeah. I mean, I went to the University of Wisconsin for undergrad, graduated in 2011. And then afterwards, worked for a few different startup companies, which, you know, was good to get exposure and kind of helped me understand the startup world. And then went back to Indiana to get my MBA in 2016 with kind of the intent of, hey, like I want to round out my skill set. Someday I might want to start a business of my own, but ended up kind of doing it while I was in school.
Okay, got it. So when did you start this business? What was the year?
It was, we officially launched in early 2018 was when we launched, so.
Got it. Now, has it been smooth sailing? How has it gone? Has it been like ups and downs? Did you think about stopping it at one point, or was it like, has it been pretty easy?
It has not been easy, as you can imagine. I think what I've learned, you know, over the past 4 years is, you know, the ups and downs, you just kind of got to roll with them. I think early on, you can get caught up with, you know, something goes great, kind of maybe be too excited and got to celebrate the wins. But then when something doesn't go your way, you can get really down. And, you know, startup, lean team, you just got to kind of keep charging forward and definitely learn to balance the highs and lows better. Mm-hmm.
Right. So what has helped you with that? Because I've heard the same thing from other business owners and entrepreneurs, CEOs, like similar things that, you know, you have some days where things are going fantastic. There's a huge win. And then there's something that could be potentially catastrophic that can happen, you know? So
right.
What have you personally found that has helped you navigate that? Because those swings, like, that's really hard.
But
curious what you've done personally.
I think the biggest thing has been finding a kind of peer group of other people, specifically, you know, in that are running food startups or more established food companies, and have kind of been through the ups and downs. You know, if something happens, mm-hmm. being able to call someone or text and either get their opinion on, you know, how they would handle the situation or even vent. And that, you know, that took me a while to kind of build that network. I didn't know anyone in the food industry. But, you know, 4 years later, I have probably a group of four or five people that talk to quite regularly, and they have definitely helped me along the way.
So having some great mentors, would you say, has been really helpful?
Yep, okay. Exactly.
So if someone's starting out and they don't have that yet, any tips for like how people can expand their network and build those relationships? Like what helped you?
You know, a lot of it was, you know, kind of pre-COVID showing up to events. If it was like food networking events or going to different expos, I actually found LinkedIn to be really helpful. The food CPG community, you know, 99% of people, if you shoot someone a note, you know, they'll respond right away. So I think you have to kind of put yourself out there at first and play offense and reach out. But I was shocked at how receptive people were to pick up the phone and kind of pass along their learnings.
Yeah. Yeah. And do you have any things that you do to help you stay connected to your mission? And the reason I'm asking this is if you're dealing with the ups and downs and the stressors of every day, I think for some people, sometimes you can lose the bigger picture of like why you're doing it, you know, and you can get so caught up in what's going right or what's going wrong. So I'm wondering if you have anything that's helped you stay grounded in why are you doing this? Why is this important to you? Which I think is what is so fulfilling, you know, about going down this path is like you have that mission that's driving you.
For sure. Yeah. And that's really what's kept me through it in the kind of the hard times is, you know, really created the business, not to set out to make a, we're in a monster company or make a bunch of money, but really saw a need in the market that, you know, there was a lack of allergen free snacks. And I think the most rewarding part is, you know, we get emails almost every day to our info account of, hey, you know, thanks for making the product. I couldn't eat this. You know, this is amazing that this has helped make our day-to-day lives easier. So going back to that mission and then getting those, you know, notes every few days from others really is encouraging and, you know, makes us want to just keep going every day.
Totally. And if you were to share, let's say the top three key things for someone that wants to start a business or go down an entrepreneurial path, the top three things when it comes to mindset, what do you think is really important to be in that right frame of mind to be able to navigate something like starting a business?
I think a lot of it kind of goes back to what we talked about. It's really having that North Star and having that mission and realizing that it's going to be up and down, but you know, it's not a linear path. Things will constantly come at you. So just realizing of the path ahead, and then it's going to be extremely hard, probably one of the hardest things you've ever done. And then, you know, really surrounding yourself with the right people. I think when our business really took off, it was, you know, going from a one-man show and trying to do everything, but then leaning on others and bringing other team members on and trusting them and, you know, kind of letting them do their thing. I think that, that's great. And then I think the last would just be try to create some sort of balance. Like, you know, work's always on my mind, but whether you're get out and go for a run or, you know, see some friends, just try to create some sort of balance. So it's like work doesn't define you. And I think that's important.
Yeah, totally. I did a TEDx talk last year about redefining work-life balance in a COVID-19 world. And I'm a really big fan of work-life integration, where you take regular breaks throughout the day, you are including self-care and things that you enjoy throughout the workday. And it's more about creating a life that makes you happy and that you're focused on things that are really important to you, including work. But one thing that I have found some people struggle with when they are building a business is not taking time for themselves. Like all of the time is dedicated to trying to grow the business, but sometimes taking care of yourself can get lost along the way. And I think some people struggle with recognizing that you're probably going to be more creative and more productive and have more energy, and all that stuff will come if you take time for yourself. So I'm wondering how you've navigated that and how you have done with taking care of yourself throughout this process.
Yeah, I think I'm getting much better at it, but I think you kind of touch on it. It's little thing that's like, you know, we're a virtual team right now. So if you have time between a call, walking outside for a 20 minute walk, or, you know, working out in the morning, big believer in saunas and cold tubs, actually.
Oh, you are.
Do a lot of that to kind of de-stress, and that's helped a lot. But yeah, I mean, it goes up and down. There's going to be weeks that, you know, we're going to be crazy, and you kind of just have to accept that and try to find little moments throughout the day or week to kind of stay balanced and reground yourself. Because yeah, I mean, if I'm not 100%, you know, I can't help others fulfill what we're trying to do. So definitely have to take care of yourself first before you can move the business forward.
Totally. So what do you do when you have a challenge? Like, how do you view setbacks and challenges? Do you have a certain mindset around it, or what has helped you? Because I think for some people that you can get stuck in what's going wrong, and then that can really limit you and hold you back and make you feel really crummy. But then there's the flip side, where if you're viewing obstacles and challenges as like growth opportunities, then that can be a little bit more empowering. So I'm just wondering, what's your take on the challenges that you face?
I think the mindset I have now is I almost expect them. Like if we go for a few weeks where everything's smooth sailing, it's like something's going to happen. You know, like this is like too good to be true. And every stage of the company, there's new problems. Like the problems we had the first year are, you know, we have different problems now, and we'll continue to have new problems as we grow. So yeah, you have to look at them as a growth opportunity. And again, like we talked about, being able to reach out to people, but by no means is a startup company smooth sailing. And I realize that, and, you know, also know that I got myself into this. Like I signed up for this, right? It's not like I'm actively, in a pity of what we're doing, because I put myself in this situation, which helps me during those tough times.
Right. Yeah. And I'm sure you've learned a ton, you know, throughout this. What do you think are the biggest learning lessons that you've had so far? What comes to mind? I'm sure this is like a big question where you probably could ponder on it and come up with the different responses day to day, but what comes to you right now?
I mean, it really is, you're learning on the job. I think it's like, you know, we're getting paid to kind of figure it out and help kind of form the company that you have the vision for. I think the biggest thing is, has been kind of building the team and working with people. I think going back to, you know, being an athlete growing up, I always liked the team setting and goal setting. And I think the unlock is truly the people. And it's how you treat people and the bandwidth you give them and getting the right people on board, and people make things go. And I think that's been really I knew it before, but when you're such a lean team and, you know, you're relying on people so much, to get the right people in place really has been a game changer for us.
How many people are on your team?
We have four full-time people, and then a few part-time as well. And then we do a lot of outsourcing, like our, you know, we use a manufacturer, you know, we use different agencies. So try to stay lean and kind of outsource as much as we can.
So what do you think your leadership style is? Like, how do you keep the communication going? It's a small team, so I'm sure that helps, but you know, I think I've been learning and reading more about trying to prevent burnout and different things with employees. And one thing is having employees that feel valued and heard. Right. And so I'm curious if you have any things in place, or what's your style? How do you navigate that?
I think how we've kind of set it up, we run something that's called the Entrepreneurial Operating System, where every quarter, every employee kind of has goals, and then and the company does as well. And they're shared with everyone, right? Like, you set them together as a company. So everyone knows what everyone else, like, you know, they should be doing, what they're striving for. So I think that's important to kind of have everyone on the same page. And then I think, as just, you know, someone who, as the founder, you know, shouldn't ask employees to do something that I wouldn't be willing to do myself. So, you know, whether I'm going to the storage unit and packing boxes, or, you know, I'm not above any task. And I think, you know, really making sure they see that and know that I'm not just directing people and telling people what to do, but I'm in the thick of it, I think is important to earn your respect. And if they, you know, have your respect, ultimately they'll, you know, work much harder for you.
Mm-hmm. So let's chat about the product a little bit. I'm curious what the ingredients are, and do you have different flavors? And yeah, just, I would love to hear about that, the product itself.
Yeah. So we have three product lines now. So we have a snack bar, we have a crispy treat, and then sunflower seeds. So snack bar, because I can't eat the company's name is Blake's Seed Base, because I couldn't eat nuts, mm-hmm. seeds are in all our products. So the number one ingredient in our snack bars, there's pumpkin seeds, sunflower seeds, flax seeds. And then we have three flavors. We have a raspberry, a blueberry lemon, and a s'mores. So that could fulfill kind of the on-the-go, you know, snack, whether you're at home or you know, running an errand or post-workout. That's our snack bar, which fulfill the need. And how we try to build it out is, you know, if you have food allergies, it's like you want a healthy snack. You might want a better-for-you treat. You might want a protein option. So that's how we've thought about our product development. And then the second product we launched about 2 years ago, which is our bestseller now, is a better for you crispy treat. To think of kind of the classic, you know, Kellogg's version, and you know, we kind of took out the junk and we have four flavors of that. And then our sunflower seeds, we have three flavors.
Okay, cool. So then what do you use for your sweeteners, and how did you decide what to use for that? You're going for the better for you option.
Yeah, it's funny. You go from like making stuff in your kitchen, like literally going, you know, to the grocery store and like getting different ingredients.
And is that what you did? Is that what you did when you started? You were making stuff in your kitchen?
Yeah. Yeah. And you take that recipe then to a, you know, a large manufacturer, and you have to say, okay, one, you know, does this have the shelf life? Does it have, you know, is it, can we hit the price point we want to, you know, eventually make it affordable for consumers? Does it have the nutrition we want? So those are all the different factors that go into it. So, you know, we try to keep things low sugar. We're not keto or no sugar, but everything is, you know, everything's all natural in our products and always will be. And then, like I mentioned earlier, everything's free of the top 8 food allergens. Mm-hmm. So we make it in a special facility. So, you know, gluten-free, vegan, nut-free. And we're very serious about that as well.
So if I today decided I want to try a new recipe in my kitchen, and, you know, I get my kids and we try some things out, and we're like, oh my gosh, this is so good, and I haven't been able to find anything like this in the store. And let's say we want to start a business, then what was your journey? Then you said you took it to the manufacturer with the recipe, or is there a lot that goes into that?
So I think the first step was, I had this idea, had product in the kitchen. Then I went and found a manufacturer, which took about 6 months, because they need to take a chance on you, right? I was like, you know, showed up, no clue what I'm doing. I don't have any customers yet, and they have high minimums. So for our first run, it was okay. You know, it was $25,000 for the first run. And I was in grad school at the time and didn't have that capital. So we actually did a Kickstarter campaign, and we said, all right, we're trying to raise $20,000. So we, you know, in pre-orders, then we can then make this product. And actually the first day the campaign went live, we raised it.
Well done.
Yeah. But it was a key, key learning that, hey, there's other people that want the product.
And that's what
jump-started the entire business is, okay, other people want this. We have the capital, and just taking things one step at a time is kind of how we've approached the entire business.
Now, are you guys available in stores? Are you online, just online?
Yeah, we're in about 2,000 stores right now. So places like Kroger, Wegmans, Jewel, Sprouts. We're in 300 Sam's Clubs. So we're in, a little over 2,000 stores, and then online places like Amazon, Thrive Market, our website. So, yeah, we're you know, our distribution's growing, and we hope next year to at least double that.
So cool. So when you got the manufacturer and then you raised that money, the $20,000, you gave the manufacturer the $25K. Then did you have to line up grocery stores or places that would distribute it? Or did you just then focus on selling online?
We started online on, you know, like Shopify or website, and then Amazon. And then pretty quickly, again, not knowing how the world worked, you know, our first customer was Jewel. So literally went on LinkedIn and found the, you know, the snack bar buyer and sent him a message. Mm-hmm. And, you know, a week later we were in his office and, you know, we got it. But it was just kind of those little things. Like, we were didn't really know, pretty naive going in, and slowly started to kind of figure out the process of how retail works, because it's a completely different game than online.
Right. And then I know when people are starting businesses, a lot of times it can take a period of time where you're actually making money, because there's so much that goes into the production and kind of laying the groundwork. How did that work for you as far as getting to a place where you are making profit?
Yeah, I mean, it's tough in our business. I mean, at retail, for example, a lot of the retailers have to pay what's called a slotting fee. And, you know, we're still at a point, you kind of have to have a point, especially at production. Like, once, the more you produce, the cheaper your products are to you know, sell to the retailers, where you can keep more of the profit. So for us, you know, we're 4 years in and we're making serious headway. We definitely have a path to profitability. I think that whole thing is the language has really changed in the world, from tech companies, you know, raising hundreds of million and never being profitable. And that's trickled all the way down to us now of, okay, what is your true path? And we, you know, we have one, we'll get there, but it comes with some scale as well.
Got it. You're still working to get there.
Yep. And, you know, we've definitely had months. We were profitable last month, but it kind of ebbs and flows, and we'll get there, but not quite there on an annual basis yet.
So it's the long game. You're playing the long game. Got to have patience. And it sounds like you really have to have a clear vision for the path.
You do. Yeah. And then, you know, what complicates it too is when you have, you know, when you have investors involved, it's okay. You know, you have to kind of plan the business and eventually plan to deliver a return for investors. So it's another, I think, thing that people don't really talk about as much in startups is the kind of the pressure that comes with that. And, you know, I didn't have capital myself to put in. So that's the, you know, the route we had to go.
Got it. Okay. Well, we are coming towards the end, Blake, and I am going to ask you a couple questions for the wellness lightning round at the end. But before we do that, anything that you would like to share that we haven't had a chance to talk about?
I don't think so. I would just encourage anyone that's thinking about starting a business. I think the biggest thing you don't want to have at the end of the day is regret. And I think that's one thing that was kind of important to me, is just going for it. You don't have to have the answers figured out from day one. And a lot of people will help you along the way if you ask for help.
That's great advice. So first question I have for you, Blake, is, you know, you were talking a lot about the pressure and the different things that come with the position that you're in and having investors and all that. So what is your go-to for stress relief? What's like, do you have like a non-negotiable, like you've got to do this to be able to feel your best?
I spend a lot of time in the sauna. That's okay. Kind of my go-to, is put away the phone and, you know, spend 20 to 30 minutes in the sauna. Has been key to me. I know that it's not accessible for anyone, but that or a cold shower to kind of just shock the system and get away from the screen for a little bit.
Getting away from the screen is so important, I think. Just like taking time away and unplugging a little throughout the day. So key. And then the second question that I have for you, Blake, is you are on a deserted desert island and you can only bring three foods with you. That's all you're going to have access to. What would you bring?
Three foods. If I'm not naming my own products,
you can name your own products if you want.
I would bring our snack bars. That's great nutrition. I would bring a lemon. I eat a lot of lemons. whether it's lemon water or lemon. And then the last, maybe a banana. I think the banana has some potassium and so kind of an oddball pick, but those are the three I'm rocking with.
You are the first person I've ever had say lemon. That took me by surprise. That's a good one. Do you put lemon just in your drinks, or do you eat lemon?
I'll have lemon water almost every morning. And then, yeah, I'm kind of a psycho. I'll like cut it up like an orange eat it like orange.
Does that irritate your teeth? I wonder if that could like infect your enamel.
The last time I went to the dentist, they were like on the top. They're like, "Do you eat a lot of citrus?"
And they're like, "Where do you do it?"
Yeah, so I might end up with veneers here pretty soon if I keep it up. So I might have to table that.
Well, this has been super fun. Like, thank you so much for taking some time with me today, sharing all of these insights, and best of luck with the move tomorrow.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much for spending time with me today. I absolutely loved sharing these insights with you. If you have a moment, I would greatly appreciate you leaving a review about what you loved about this episode. Leaving reviews helps this show gain visibility so those who can benefit from it can gain access to it. Thank you so much for your support. And until next time, this is Crystal Bauer with Live Greatly, inspiring you to awaken your ultimate potential. Now for a disclaimer, the contents of this podcast are intended for informational and educational purposes only. Always seek the guidance of your physician or qualified health professional for any recommendations specific to you or for any questions regarding your specific health, your sleep patterns, changes to diet and exercise, or any medical conditions. Always consult your physician before taking any medications, any over-the-counter drugs, any supplements, vitamins, or herbs, and consult your physician before starting any new lifestyle programs. All information, views, and statements shared on the Live Greatly podcast are purely the opinions of the authors. They are not medical advice or treatment recommendations. They have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. Opinions of guests are their own, and Crystal Bauer and this podcast do not endorse or accept responsibility for statements made by guests. Neither Crystal Bauer nor this podcast takes any responsibility for possible health consequences of a person or persons following the information in this educational content. Always consult your physician for recommendations specific to you. If any product mentioned in this podcast has been received from the manufacturer or public relations team for that product with the express intent of editorial consideration, the product will be identified as such. A product for which Live Greatly receives some form of compensation for promoting will be identified as such.